knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
He's Dean Richards. He's a friend to not just you, Wendy, and myself, but to millions of Americans just like us.
And all across the seas.
Yep. Yep. And in the motherland.
From sea to shining seas.
The seven seas?
Yeah, the seven seas.
Yep, all seven of them.
And soon on other planets, I believe.
That's right.
I think so.
Those are the voices I've been hearing in my head for years. I'm hoping.
Dean, I hate to start out. You know me. I don't like to start out with bad news,
no.
But entertainment lost a giant yesterday with the loss of Gary Marshall.
Sure did. I'm so sad. I mean, this year, please let this year end.
You guys, next year, I mean, we're getting older. This is what's happening.
It's unprecedented, though, this year. I mean, I can't think of any year where I've done this many obituaries.
Yeah.
And for really classic, beloved people, they don't come much more beloved, more talented, more likable than Gary Marshall, who in his long career was a writer before, you know, becoming a television producer, and gave us the television adaptation of The Odd Couple with Tony Randall and Jack Klugman. Of course, gave us the legendary Happy Days, which spawned Laverne and Shirley, which spawned Mork and Mindy.
Tony Loves Chachi.
Mm-hmm. They're going for the topical with the Republican convention.
There you go. That's what I do.
Maybe it was Chachi's appearance at the convention that
that pushed him over there. I suggested that earlier.
Thank goodness we know that there was a heart that he had pneumonia and it wasn't like a heart attack or a shock or something.
Right.
One of the cast members talking about at a political convention.
Yeah.
But, he gave us those amazing television shows. And then, really, some of the greatest movies of the last 40 years. Julia Roberts and Richard Gere's Pretty Woman probably is, top of the list.
That's his? I'm sorry, I didn't realize that.
That is his.
Flamingo Kid.
Dillon.
With Matt Dillon. I know Gary Marshall co-wrote that with a guy I know named Neil Marshall, and Neil told me, without any quibbles at all, Gary Marshall was the easiest person to write with he had ever met.
Everybody says that about him.
Yeah.
Anybody that worked with him said he was the greatest guy to work with. He was no fuss. He was so common sense, so really very down to earth in his practice, and just really such a nice guy. I interviewed him many times through the years. The last time was just this past April for the movie Mother's Day, which I wish had been a little better. He did that Valentine's Day movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where there were seven or eight different scenarios of people going through, getting ready for Valentine's Day, and then did the New Year's Eve, which wasn't quite as good as that, and then the Mother's Day that wasn't quite as good as the other two.
And Arbor Day was stupid, let's be honest.
Arbor Day, it's just, there's not a lot you can say about
nothing.
Trees.
Right.
God knows he tried.
I know.
God knows the man tried. Gave us movies like The Princess Diaries, classics, Runaway Bride, Bette Midler's Beaches, Jackie Gleason's final movie, the one that he did
with
Tom Hanks, that was shot here in Chicago because Chicago meant so much to him.
He went to Northwestern, right?
He sure did, and was so proud of being from Northwestern, credits Northwestern for, sparking all of his talent. Was very involved in alumni associations and organizations through the years. Really loved Chicago, really loved Northwestern. Ron Howard, now Oscar-winning director, but was Richie Cunningham, of course, in Happy Days, said that Gary Marshall was the best boss that he ever had.
Oh, wow.
Greatest boss I ever had. His exact quote was, "His guidance influenced the entire course of my life. And I'm not alone in feeling that way about the impact of Gary's wisdom on those who are part of his universe."
How nice.
That's really high, high praise. Think about it. Is there somebody that has influenced the entire course of your life? That's what Gary Marshall meant to Ronnie Howard. And he worked with Andy Griffith.
Yes, that's so true.
Good
now,
point.
Dean, think
he
about this.
Knew Barney Fife personally.
He did. They were very close. Think about this. He's in on the casting for this movie, Nothing in Common. They already have Jackie Gleason in place. And they go with Tom Hanks, who at the time was a sitcom actor. He had been in a couple of movies like Bachelor Party, you know, just real light fare movies. And Nothing in Common was a little grittier. So maybe without that movie, Tom Hanks doesn't become Tom Hanks.
Right. You're so right. I mean, he could have taken a completely different trajectory in his career. I think it gave him the confidence to know that he could do drama. I have no doubt in my mind that if you ask Tom Hanks, he'll tell you, much the same way that Ron Howard did, that working with Gary Marshall was influential in his life. Because I can't tell you how much their two personalities are so similar, so down to earth, so nice, so yeah. normal, so professional, so talented, cutting away a lot of the BS that surrounds people of that stature.
Yeah.
Neither of those guys had it.
Wow. So he will certainly be missed. Also, we neglected to mention the brother of Penny Marshall, Laverne from Laverne and Shirley. So they worked together on that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. He was 81 years old, by the way.
Well, you hear people living to be, you know, when you got your Silver Surfer Award, Silver Circle.
Half the audience was 90 years old.
Well, your mother was there.
It was just our parents. So there's like half the audience was 90 years old. I could have made a fortune if I had a Geritol consumption there that night.
Well, everybody was mentioning their parents in their 90s. Jay Levine's mom was over 100, or dad.
And dad. I think both of his parents were
And
there.
It's like, so you hear 81, and in a way, you're thinking that's too young.
It's kind of young. It is kind of young. He died from complications of pneumonia after he suffered a stroke. It's just very unfortunate. 81 these days is
the new 30.
Super young. It really is.
But well, if I can find a silver lining, and that's what I do, Wendy. I'm a silver lining
you
finder.
Really.
Yes, glass I am. Half full.
I'm a glass half full person, and I feel like I'm getting ripped off in bars when they do that to me. But anyway.
Is your sippy cup half full?
Yeah. The beauty of him is, or anybody in the arts, is that there's a legacy to be seen for years and years. You can go back and look at his work. It's so many professions, no matter how great of a human being they were when they died at 81, their work is kind of lost. But with Gary Marshall, we all have hours and hours and hours to watch and enjoy.
Not only his work, but how many people he influenced.
Absolutely.
You know, and what, you know, the successes of Ron Howard, say, for example, of Tom Hanks, of, you know, Julia Roberts has, you know, there was a reason that Julia Roberts was in those movies after she won an Oscar, was in those movies like Valentine's Day. I don't remember if she was in New Year's Eve. I think she was.
She may have been, yeah.
But she was in Mother's Day. There's a reason that she was in movies like that that probably an Oscar winner would not be part of.
Yeah.
It was because of her affection for Gary Marshall.
That says it all. It really does.
Did you want to play something?
Yeah. Can I just play a minute or two of audio? This is Gary Marshall was a writer and a producer, but from time to time he would go back and act. And he's in one of the funniest scenes in Lost in America. I'll set it up really quickly. Albert Brooks is at the Desert Inn in Las Vegas and has lost, his wife anyway, has lost all of their money. Their nest egg is gone. Don't say nest. Don't say egg. Don't say nest egg. So what happens is Albert Brooks decides to go into the boss's office there at the Desert Inn and explain to him how it would be better if they would give them their money back. So listen to a little of that.
In advertising history, you give us our money back.
I beg your pardon?
Give us our money back. Think of the publicity. The Hilton Hotels has these billboards all over Los Angeles where the winners of these slot machine jackpots, their faces are all over L.A., and I know that works. I've seen people at corners look up and say, maybe I'll go to the Hilton. Well, you give us our money back. I don't even know now because I'm just coming off the top of my head, but a visual where if we had a billboard and the Desert Inn handed us our nest egg back, this gives the Desert Inn, really, Vegas is not associated with feeling.
Well, first of all, those people on those signs, they won. You lost.
But that's it. That's the campaign.
What's the campaign?
You gave my wife and I our money back because you reviewed our situation and you realized that we dropped out of society and we weren't just gamblers and we made a mistake and you gave our money back. Do you know you couldn't get a room in this place for 10 years?
Then everybody will want their money back. All the gamblers will say, hey, go to the Desert Inn, get our money back.
Not gamblers. You keep all the money. It's just that my wife and I aren't gamblers. That's what I'm saying. That's the distinction. My wife and I represent the few people, and I'll tell you something, there's probably nobody else that's ever going to come and have this happen. So really, probably we're the only two. We represent the people who have taken the chance, and we made a mistake, and then the Desert Inn corrects it and gives it back. There is a warm feeling here.
But you don't think everybody then will want their money back?
No. In the campaign, you make a clear distinction between the bold, who would be my wife and I, and then all the other schmucks who come in to see Wayne Newton.
I like Wayne Newton.
I said Wayne Newton.
What were you talking about? I heard you say schmuck see Wayne Newton. I like him. That makes me a schmuck.
Oh, no.
Makes me a schmuck?
Yeah, and then Gary goes on to explain that he's not Sandy Claus. They're not giving the money back.
That's so great.
He'll be missed tremendously. We'll talk more with Dean Richards in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dean Richards is here to talk about movies. Dean, the new Star Trek movie, Star Trek Beyond, opens this weekend. You've seen it. What are your thoughts?
I loved it. Can't wait for everybody else to see it. This is the third in this reboot franchise that stars Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana, John Cho, reprising all the old characters that we know from the television show and the original movie series. This one is, I'm placing this number two favorite in this reboot. I liked it better than the last one.
Yeah.
And I liked the last one just fine, but this one just goes above and beyond. It's big and it's bold and it's explosive. It's got a great story of how the Starship Enterprise is lured into a trap and is boarded, and the crew is taken, kind of captured, taken prisoner, some escape, and their attempt to try to free themselves. So while this is, you know, big, it's a huge story in beautiful and amazing special effects. It's about one of the most interpersonal movies that I've seen in a long time as well, and I think that that's what really made this for me, is that as the crew is, you know, captured or, you know, trying to free their friends and their co-crew, they're kind of paired off. So the movie becomes all these little vignettes of little things that are happening between the characters, and you really get some lovely personal stories. It's almost like going behind the scenes with these characters that we've known all of our lives. It's almost like, you know, knowing, like, when they're not flying the Starship Enterprise, what do they talk about? What are their relationships? Oh. What are their interpersonal relationships like? You know, we saw in the last movie the relationship developing between Uhuru and Spock.
Yeah.
That's furthered in this movie. One thing that's been talked about greatly, so I don't really think it's a spoiler, is that the character that John Cho plays,
Mr. Sulu,
is revealed as gay in this movie, which was a tribute to George Takei.
That's how he
does. Oh my.
I love that guy's posts on Facebook and Twitter,
hilarious.
By the way. I know.
He's a hilarious.
But he's not happy about this.
He's come to terms with it.
Has he?
But he said that what he really thought was they should have introduced, I mean, he's a gay actor who played a straight character in this movie forever. And said that he's glad that there is a gay character that's been introduced into the Star Wars franchise. He thought it should have been somebody
new. Star Trek
universe.
Yeah.
That it should have been a brand new character and not one that was already that you already had some history with.
Yeah.
But since then he's fine with it. You know what? The scene is so quick and so fast. It's not a big deal really in the movie at all. And when I talked with John Cho this past weekend, he says that, you know, he loves that it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's treated like anybody else would greet their significant other, you know, quickly. He has a little daughter, and, you know, it's just not a big deal in the movie.
Dean, one of the actors, Anton Yelchin, died a few weeks ago in a car accident, a very strange car accident, and the producers just said that in the future that character will not be recast, that Mr. Chekhov will no longer be in and they haven't figured out how to write him out yet, but they're not going to find some new actor to replace Anton Yelchin.
Yeah, it's. I got to tell you, it was a little bit distracting watching the movie because he's a significant part of this movie. I think he's a little more integral to this movie than he has been in the past. And it's just downright distracting in the beginning every time that he's on screen that you are remembering this horrible freak accident that took this very talented actor's life at a pretty young age. You know, everybody's shocked, the whole cast. You know,
sure.
I interviewed them this past weekend, and, you know, everybody is still shell-shocked from the death of their friend.
Mm, so sad. So it sounds like you love this. What is your Dean's List on this?
I'm giving it a Dean's List A.
I like that. Yeah, good.
I really liked it.
Very good.
I really liked it.
Another television show come to the big screen, Ab Fab, or Absolutely Fabulous.
What Everybody's excited about that.
It's funny you should say that because during the break, I'm just opening my mail here, and I had this big box on my desk from the studio. You know, they send me... you know, like junk from
swag,
to,
we call
to promote
it.
The movies, right?
Yeah. Junk.
Or junk. They like to call it
as
junk.
As I call it, the reason you pay $20 for a ticket.
Right.
Is because they're sending dopes like me junk like this to try to. And almost, I mean, usually I put the stuff on, I give it away on Facebook. I give it to fans of the movies and they like it. But I think this one I may keep. It's a red hat, red baseball cap that says, "Make America Fabulous Again."
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Very funny. I was a big fan of the TV show, Absolutely Fabulous, and I saw the movie last night. I laughed my head off with this movie, but I'm not sure that everybody's going to. I think if you've never seen Absolutely Fabulous before, and I think there probably is a fairly significant...
I haven't seen it. I've seen like one or two...
Mm-hmm.
Seconds of a couple.
Oh,
I mean, I really didn't get into it.
Yeah, I think you may actually be in the majority with this. It was a BBC show that ran on PBS in the United States here on Channel 11. But, you know, they used to run the reruns all the time. And I just got hooked into it. These two train wrecks of, you know, these two women who are, you know, just like walking vodka bottles.
Yeah. See, that's why I didn't watch it, because it hit too
little
close,
too
to,
close
home.
To home.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
A little too close to home for you. They're in the PR business. They think they're a lot more important than they really are as they stumble through one disaster after another. I'm just not sure that if you don't have any history with the show, that you are going to find it as hilariously funny as people who do. That said... I laughed my head off.
Oh.
There's so many original characters. Like, almost everybody is back in this movie, reprising their weird and train wreckedless kind of characters. I loved it. It's you know, the story of how one of the characters accidentally knocks supermodel Kate Moss into the river, and she's thought to be dead. And
oh.
The police are looking for her. She's trying to hide. She's trying to escape the country.
So it's a plot line we've seen a million times.
So as you can see, a romantic story this time.
Yeah. How long has this been off the air, though? That's my question. Because even if you did like it, hasn't it been not airing
It's been a little while.
Double-digit years?
I'll look it up real quick here and see if I can find that out of when actually went off the air, because...
But it's not like Entourage, where it had just gone off the air and then there's a movie. Some years have passed.
Yeah, no, it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
Because it surprised me that they were making an Ab Fab movie. Like, where were you 10 years ago?
I think they may have... Is this the second one, Dean, or is this the first one?
There was one that was called Absolute... I'm trying to remember. Absolutement.
Right, right, right.
It's like a French kind of spinoff of the name. They did try once before. I'm not really so sure of the history of all that, but the TV show was originally from 1992 to 2012, so it was on the air for a pretty long time.
Yep.
I don't know when they stopped running the reruns of it. All I can say is I missed it greatly. I loved the characters. They are... just a complete mess, every last one of them. Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley are back as Adina and Patsy. And, And it's funny. Apparently, there was still plenty of vodka pass around.
That's very good.
To make the storyline work.
Dean's List on Absolutely Fabulous?
I'm giving that a Dean's List B.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. And, Dean, we're out of time. We have less than a minute, but Lights Out comes out.
Lights Out. You want super, super scary movie. Super well done. Beautifully made. I mean, like, so disturbingly scary. If you like movies like that,
I'm in.
You're gonna like this one. And oddly, the storyline is, talk about storylines not being anything new. Strange creature in a house, mother trying to protect her family.
Oh,
that's what I want.
We're all afraid of the dark.
That's all you need, and this is scariest movie in a long time.
Oh, excellent.
Gotta wear my Depends.
Scariest
Dean's
movie
List on
in a
Lights
long
Out?
Time. Just to get Wendy to wear her Depends.
I have flowered ones.
With those giant extra large beverages that they sell at the movies, that could be a mess.
Yep. Don't sit near Wendy.
I'm giving that a Dean's List B+.
That's not bad either. Yeah. A solid week. Star Trek Beyond, Absolutely Fabulous, and Lights Out. All getting good marks from Dean. Dean, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
All right. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.